Badgies. NIV. That must be working on something different, because my one says envy at the bottom instead of jealousy. Envy and jealousy are actually very different. So now hearing you guys, I was like, oh, now I need to talk about that. And then I realized, you guys do Q&A as well. I thought, why did I come here? This is really hard. We're going to talk a bit about jealousy, so I have to set aside some time in the middle somewhere to kind of tease apart the difference between envy and jealousy, and hopefully I can think ahead of time and work out what the difference is. It is different. But how we start, and I will give thanks for the word of God. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word, your voice, because your word is true, and your word is what we need right now. Amen. Now, I don't know if you guys remember the day you guys got your P's. When I got my P's, man, it was like a day of liberation. Freedom, no more trains, no more buses. I could go wherever I wanted to go. And so I got my P's as soon as possible, as soon as I could, which was at the end of year 11. And one of the big reasons as to why I wanted to do that is because I could drive to school in year 12. I remember driving to school on that first day. Felt great. Pulled up into the student parking lot. And alongside me pulls up this brand new showroom green Audi. And my friend is in it. And I get out of the car and go, oh my God, this is a nice car. Is this your parents' car? Points to the license plate. His license plate has his name on it. It was his gift from his parents for getting his license. Now, I had inherited my brother's car, who had inherited it from my sister. And he goes to me, yeah, my parents said if I get 90 or above in the HSC, then they'll get me a brand new car. And I just lost it. I'm like, oh my gosh, you already got a new car. And if you break 90, you get another new car. And I said, I'm Chinese. I'll tell you what I get if I get 100. I will get not into trouble. That's what I will get if I get 100. And so every time I saw his car, you just couldn't help but feel a little bit, it was envy. I felt so envious of him. I remember the looks of teachers who would drive past his car because they drove in relative to his car, they're normal cars. And you could see the look on their faces as they drove past his car. Well, just for the record, this is how the story ends. He didn't get a new car, and I did get into trouble. Anyways, I think we're going to talk about envy. And I think one of the reasons why it's such a good thing to talk about envy is because, first of all, it is such a normal experience of life, isn't it? We envy other people's jobs, their success, what they own, their ministries and the opportunities. We can envy the fact that they get invited to things. We hear about people's holidays and their promotions, their relationships, their life balance, and we can be filled with such a sense of envy. And it kind of just creeps up on you. And it's so normal, we experience it all the time. But Titus 3 says this. At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. 1 Peter 2 says this. Therefore rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Now, I've read these verses quite a number of times. And I think each time I kind of glaze over the envy thing, not because I didn't know it's there. I know it's there. But I've never really sat down to talk to someone and say, you know what, I think you have an issue with envy. No one's ever sat with me and said, hey, Simon, the way you speak about that person, Have you ever thought that you envy them? Never done that. No one's ever done that to me. And yet God is saying very clearly that envy is part of the old self. It is part of the old way of living. It's a sinful way of living. And so today God really wants to speak to us to make us quite aware of what it actually is. Why is it so bad? And how does the gospel help us to leave envy? So it's very simple. There's three questions we're just going to ask. What is it? Why is it so bad? And how do we deal with it? And so we're going to take this first one. You know, what is it? And I think we see, whatever it is, I think we see a picture of it in that passage we just heard. I read it out for us from verse 5. Whatever mission Saul sent David on, David was so successful that Saul gave him a high rank in the army. This pleased all the troops and Saul's officers as well. When the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, the women came out from all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and dancing with joyful songs and with timbrels and lyres. Philistines, that were the long-running arch enemies of Israel. And finally under King Saul, they defeat the Philistines. This is a major win. And it came at the hands of a shepherd boy called David, who killed Philistine's champion, Goliath. And so all of Israel is absolutely just stoked. Before the troops even come home, news has spread like wildfire. Everyone comes out of their towns and houses, dancing on the streets, singing songs with everything they can find, every instrument, to welcome the troops home. And as they're riding from the distance, Saul can already hear the crowds of women rushing towards him, jumping and screaming, spinning around and waving their hands, they're singing. They're playing instruments. But as they get closer and closer, this is what he hears them singing. As they danced, they sang, "Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands." Saul is leading his troops back home. He sees the crowd rushing towards him. And they run straight past him and they head straight for David. They lift him up on their shoulders. They start singing. They're patting him on the back. They give him high fives. And they're saying, "David, man, you're awesome. You're the champion." Saul, well, he's slain his thousands, but David, he's tens of thousands. Verse 8 says, "Saul was very angry. This refrain displeased him greatly. They have credited David with tens of thousands," he thought, "but me, only thousands. What more can he have but the kingdom?" And from that time on, Saul kept a close eye on David. He is surrounded by a sea of people celebrating and singing and cheering. And he hears a constant refrain, this constant song. "Saul has slain his thousands, but David, oh man, David, tens of thousands." Everyone loves David. The soldiers of the armies, they all look up to him. The officers, they respect him. And the ladies, oh the ladies, every mum is trying to set up their daughter with David. Everyone loves David except for one man, Saul. He is angry. It is kind of strange when you think about it. This is a nationwide day for celebration. War is over. It's peacetime. Mums and dads don't have to worry about sending their sons to battle and worry if they will come home. We can start life now. It is peacetime. War is over. No more violence. No more fear. How is it at Israel's most joyous celebratory time, victorious time, Saul can be so angry? How is it he can be so fixated, so angry, so envious of David's success when it is clearly a good thing? See, here's what envy is. If we were to define envy, I think this would be a good definition. Envy is the resentment that things are going well for someone else, but not you. Envy is the resentment that things are going well for someone else, but not you. And I'm quite certain you and I can think of many times when things have gone well for someone else, but not me. And I feel resentful about that. You know, a group of people go to hang out together, and they go, guys of my creation, as I said, they're a bit younger than me. And so sometimes, you know, they'll organize the time to go. They'll go hang in the city, they will catch the latest movie, and someone will say, they never bothered to invite me. A couple of church get engaged, you know, wedding invites get handed out. And you know how it is, you know, everyone goes, oh, I'll see you at the reception. And then they go, I didn't get invited. And it's just so awkward, isn't it? It's like, oh, I'll see you on Sunday then. And then you go to the next person, I'll see you at the reception. Yeah, see you at the reception. You'll find out someone else, they've got a house, a really nice house, because their parents helped them to pay the deposit for them. You think, how can life be so easy for some people? At church, sometimes it's the same thing. Some people just get so much respect from others, so much recognition. Sometimes we can be envious over other people's families. Oh, wow, you know, such and such has such a great husband. He's so nice to his wife. He's responsible. He knows how to change a car tire. He's got a good job. And I've met wives who are very resentful about that, because their husbands, they're just not that good. Envy is one of those bizarre sins. It's so bizarre because it happens when things are going well for someone. Just like how things are going well for Israel. It's going so well for them. It's going so well for David. And yet it brings so much grief. People want to hang out with each other, and it brings us grief. People getting married and celebrating with friends and family, and it brings us such sorrow. People who have the capacity of families, helping families to buy a house, and it brings us such sadness to walk in that house. People growing in ministry and in the love for people, and it makes us so resentful. Sometimes you just have to look through Facebook, right? You look through Facebook, and it's almost this everlasting trophy cabinet of people's achievements and their holidays and what they earn and what the latest thing they're doing. You kind of feel like, well, my life's not like that. I've got nothing to post. They have the success we would want for ourselves. The car and the house, the ministry, the recognition, the friendships, that just quality of life. Envy is the resentment that things are going well for someone else, but not you. Another way to define envy would be this. Envy is the feeling of sorrow for someone else's success. I know couples were talking about, well, what's the difference between envy and jealousy? And I think this one, it's probably worth clarifying something. If envy is the feeling of sorrow at someone else's success, I think jealousy is slightly different. Sometimes we use it interchangeably, but I think jealousy is more about not having something which you truly actually deserve, but it is given to someone else. Jealousy can actually be a good thing when you think about a husband. And if another man is vying for your wife's affections,
you as a husband will get jealous, and you should get jealous. You should be jealous for your wife because someone is trying to steal her affections, which belong to you. She is your wife, and you should be jealous because she's yours. And that feeling of intimacy that someone is trying to take from you, it belongs to you as the husband. Jealousy is about when you are denied something you rightly deserve. Sometimes it's a good thing. God is a jealous God. When he sees this world of people that are worshipping false gods, he says, I am jealous for your glory, the glory you're giving to false idols that belongs to me. God is a jealous God. That's what it means. Jealousy can sometimes be a bad thing because sometimes the way we react to what we don't have, which we rightly deserve, can push us to the wrong end. So, perhaps you know, we can do well in our achievements, and someone has the same achievement at work, the same, you know, you've both worked on the same project, and for some reason, whatever it is, they get more credit and more recognition. Even though you did the same work, do you deserve that recognition? You do. Are you jealous about the fact that you were denied that recognition? You can. You can be jealous. You probably would be. But how you respond to that sense of jealousy can be a bad thing. Maybe it will make you bitter about your coworker. Maybe it will make you start wish that, man, I wish that I'd never work with that guy. I should have done this project by myself. Jealousy is about being denied something you rightly deserve. And it could be a good thing. It could be a bad thing. Envy is slightly different. Envy is the feeling of sorrow you have over someone else's success. They have something. It is so good. I don't have it. And I feel resentful about that. That's the difference. What's the problem then? What is so bad about envy? I mean, I know we all get envious of people. Well, let's just think about it for a moment. See, I think there are two ways which you and I normally try and solve this problem of envy. So when I feel sorrow over someone else's success, when I feel resentful that things are going well for someone else, there are two ways that I try and solve this feeling of envy. Either I must bring someone else down, or I try and bring myself up. I've got to try and equal the scales somehow. They've got something, I don't have it. So we've got to even it up somehow. Either they come down, or I must come up. So on one hand, I've got to come up. I must have more. They have a house. I'm going to go get a house now. I'm going to start saving up for a house. They have a car. Now I'm going to go get a car. Whatever they have, I'm now going to start working to get that thing for myself. Because somehow, in some way, someone else has set that benchmark in life. And so I need to reach that benchmark. And it's sometimes almost as though we feel like it's our right to be able to have those things because other people have set the standard. Whatever they have, I'm allowed to now have. And more. And sometimes it's not just about the house. It's got to be a better house. It can't just be a house. It's got to be something that is better than that. Can't just be a job. Everyone's got a job, but I'm not going to settle for a job that's less than what other people are doing. Can't just be a holiday up the coast. It's got to be, you know, everyone's going overseas. On the other hand, we try and bring people down. I want you to have less. If I can't go up, well, then you must come down. Because, well, envy is quite personal, isn't it? It's not just about the possessions, it's about the person. And that's what we see with David and Saul. And Saul, in the chapters later after, he made it his goal in life to get rid of David. He didn't want him to have any more success. No more recognition. David himself, you might remember his story. He envied the wife of another man and made it his mission to bring her husband down. Matthew 27 writes this in the Gospels. For he knew, Jesus, for he knew it was out of envy that the Jews had handed Jesus over to him. The Jews were envious of all the attention that Jesus got, and they planned to bring him down. The gospel exists because of the envy of people. People despised and resented the success Jesus was having, the crowds, the power, the authority that he had over people. When he taught, they listened. And they dealt with their envy by bringing him down to death. See, perhaps there are people in this community or in your workplace. They are your rivals, your competitors, and you envy them. And sometimes we kind of throw out the phrase, I don't know, you've probably heard it, I hear a lot in my congregation, oh, they've got such a clique group. You know, this clique group and no one's allowed in it. But you know what, the reality is, when I speak to people, if they were in the clique group, they wouldn't be complaining about it. Well, sometimes we bring them down in other ways. If someone else has the attention, the respect that you feel so resentful about, you kind of speak to people and you kind of try and question it. You know, they're really not that good a person. Do you know what they said? Do you know what they said the other day about such and such? And sometimes there's always a sense of satisfaction, I think, when we can sway other people's opinion about others and bring them down a notch or two. That's a bit like celebrity gossip. You know, for all the fame and the wealth and success they get, it feels pretty good sometimes to read about their dirty laundry, the conflicts and the quarrels and the breakdowns in their marriages, because they have so much and it's so good just to bring them down a notch. And that's how envy works. Either we try and go up or we bring them down. And that souls my resentment. That actually brings me joy when we can bring some equal playing field. When I have more than you, or when you have less than me, then I feel less resentful, more satisfied, more content in life. I feel better when I finally have that house, which just so happens to be better than yours. So when we look at envy this way, it's so bizarre, isn't it? It is so bizarre. It's so messed up. I feel resentment for when things for you are going well. And I feel content when I'm actually going better than you. It's so bizarre when you really think of it. God is calling us to see what envy for what it is. And this is why it's so bad. When you realize what it is, you realize why it is so sinful. It is a messed up sense of being resentful over other people's success and more satisfied at other people's failure. That's a pretty big problem. It is the very epitome of being totally and utterly unloving in the Christian life. What's happening underneath then? What's happening under this sense of envy? Because I think there's something underneath which is really worth us thinking about. You may remember a parable that Jesus shared with the disciples. Actually, I think it happened to be the one that I shared with you guys last year. A parable about workers in a vineyard. Some of the workers work in the vineyard for a very long time, the whole day. Some of the workers work in the vineyard for a minuscule hour of the day, a portion of an hour of the day. And so of this vineyard filled with workers, some who work for a very long time, some who work for a very short time, all of them get paid the same wage. They all get the same thing. And in Matthew 20, this is what some of these people who work for a long time, this is what they say about the people who didn't work very long at all. This is what it says. Those who are hired last, they only worked 1 hour. And you have made them equal to us who have worked hard, who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But the owner answered one of them, look, I'm not being unfair to you, friend. I mean, didn't you agree to work for a denarius, a day's wage? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I'm generous? See, the guys who worked all day, they are envious of the ones who only worked an hour and got the same money as them. They're so resentful about it. Why? Because they worked harder. Those other guys did nothing compared to us. We worked more, they worked less. We should have more, they should have less. We should have more recognition, they should have less recognition. But now that you've paid us the same, you've made us equal. No, it should be tipped in our favor. We deserve more. They deserve less. And the landowner says, this is why you're envious. This is really why you're envious. Because I'm generous. What you're really envious about is the fact that God has been generous to other people. That is the real problem. When other people receive good things in life, we are actually resenting God's goodness to them. That's kind of funny, isn't it? As Christians, we praise God for his goodness all the time. We sang about it today. We talk about it all the time. God is good. He's sovereign. You know what I say, grace over meals? I always try, I kind of say the same thing every time. I try and acknowledge that all good things come from the hand of God. This is what James 1 says. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. When we are envious of people, what we're really resentful about is that God has given good and great things to other people. And we envy that God has been generous. What does it look like then to turn from envy? This is the last point. How does the gospel help us to leave envy? I'm going to say two things. Just to end on two things. The first thing is this. And you probably got it already. You and I need to see the achievements and the successes and the good things that come to others as proof and evidence of the goodness of God. The fact that some people can afford a house, that's God's goodness to them. The fact that some people more gifted and more capable and maybe they even better thought of than we are, that is God's goodness to them. The fact that some people do have the financial freedom to go on a nice holiday, that's God's goodness to them. And when I receive good things, I thank God. And so when you and I see the good things that God gives to other people, the first thing we should be doing is thanking God for that. I thank God for the good things he has given you. You know, when Jesus tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves, this is actually what it looks like. He says, you know, love others as you would love yourself. In other words, everything that you would want for yourself, want it for someone else. And if they happen to get the things that you would want for yourself, you thank God for it. That is what it looks like to love your neighbor. When God is good to you, I thank God. I would want that. For you to have what I want, oh man, thank God that he's been generous to you. When you do well, I want to praise God for the fact that you've done well. Turning from envy means rejoicing in God's generosity to other people. Means turning from feeling sorrow at other people's success, but thankfulness to God for his goodness and generosity to people. That's the first thing. The second one is, no matter what you and I experience in life, regardless what other people have or do not have, or what we do or do not have, we ourselves can also give thanks to God for his goodness to us in all circumstances. You know, Lamentations is this, it's a really, to be honest, it's a very depressing book. Lamentations written in the darkest times of Israel. You know, if 1 Samuel was the, man, you know, nations on the highest of highs, Lamentations the lowest of lows. And the writer of Lamentations says this in chapter 3. He says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I'm sure in this congregation, some of us have a lot of good things. Some of us, probably very few good things compared to other people. And regardless of where you and I are at, God is saying, I'm already generous to you. Today, he is generous to you. And he has promised he'll be more than generous in that age to come. We're going to experience so much of God's goodness and generosity. Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. One day, we will. See, is the gospel about God's love in sending Jesus to die undeservedly for us? Yes, it is. But it is more than that. It is to see that the character of God's undeserved goodness and generosity to us is a reality that you and I live in every day. Every breath we draw is by virtue of his compassion and goodness and generosity. Every ounce of goodness we have in life, from the smallest to the greatest, is a gift from the loving God to undeserving people. As the writer of Lamentations says, we deserve to be utterly consumed, but no, we have life. We do have good things given to us every day. And only people who have been saved by Jesus can see that. only you and I can see this reality. That every day we live in the hands of God's goodness. Only sinners can know how undeservingly good God is with us every day. And so we can turn from envy. You and I can turn from envy. Firstly, by saying, I thank God for the goodness I see in the lives of other people. Second of all, I thank you, God, for the goodness that you've shown to me. How about I pray for us? Heavenly Father, we want